Hi, we are in Gettysburg, Holiday Inn Hotel, Jerry Pippin Show, and my guest is Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Hi, how are you?
Very nice, Farah. Nice to meet you.
You are a very interesting personality, and your research has a very wide area. Angels, evils, demons, and vampires. How did you start, and when did you start?
I got interested in the paranormal when I was a child because of psychic things that happened in my family. There are members of my family who experienced a lot of psychic dreaming the future. I had invisible playmates when I was a child. The idea that you could dream the future that would really come to pass intrigued me, and I got interested in topics like ghosts and extrasensory perception, psychic powers, the supernatural, and started studying them. I began experimenting with my own dreams to learn how to go out of body in dreams and visit distant locations, send people messages. So the psychic world became very real to me, and that became an interest of mine that eventually became my life's path, my career.
Are you a psychic too?
Yes, I am. I'm not mediumistic. I don't contact the dead very well, but over the years, I have developed my ability, which I think we all have, to sense the invisible. I've had numerous experiences where I interpret my experiences as encounters with angels, ghosts, sometimes unpleasant things, which would be on the demonic side. I do believe very strongly in the invisible realms, and that we have portals that open up to us where we have these experiences, but we can also experience them sometimes at will.
How many books you wrote?
I've done just a little over 30 now. I think I'm on 32. These are nonfiction books. I also write fiction, but these are all nonfiction books. And I describe it as everything paranormal A to Z, angels to zombies and everything in between.
And as far as I know, some of your books were translated into other languages. What other languages?
I've been translated into 13 languages altogether. I hope I can remember them all, but the dominant ones would be German, Polish, Russian, Japanese, Spanish, Portuguese, Italian, Greek, Turkish, Romanian.
Also Turkish from my country.
Yes, the Alchemical Tarot was translated into Turkish.
Oh my God, this is so exciting. So you are also a tarot expert. You are writing tarot books. What is the place of tarot in paranormal world?
The tarot is it's a tool that is very useful for personal growth, and it's also very important in divination. But in order to use it well, you really have to have your psychic abilities developed. And intuition is a psychic ability because the cards speak in symbols. You infer messages from them. They're highly synchronistic. They operate along a principle that if you are seeking guidance and you lay down cards, there's going to be a meaningful pattern to the symbols and the cards that pertains to your question. So one does better if one has developed intuition and psychic ability. You sort of have to read between the lines.
And what about the dreams? What kind of dreams are important for our today's life and for the future?
I think that we experience profound things in our dreams. First of all, they tell us the truth about ourselves, how we feel about how we're doing in life. They also connect us to the higher self and to higher realms. Everyone at some point in their life has a big dream that we seem to be in direct contact with God or something very holy, and it has a lot of importance to us in terms of what we're doing in life. I think our dreams are also meeting places. They're a place where human consciousness can go and have access to otherworldly realms, parallel universes, the land of the dead, the archetypal realm, the land of spirits, that we don't have ordinary access to when we're awake.
Mm-hmm. And what about the astral dreams? The experiences that we have in the astral dimension?
I think that a lot of our dreams take place in the astral dimension. The astral realm is It's like a building place. The astral realm has very little form to it unless we create form. Mm-hmm. And in magical practice and theory, the astral plane is where a lot of things on the physical plane originate from, that the idea is built on the astral plane and empowered to the point where it becomes manifest in the physical. For example, we see this demonstrated with the power of positive thinking and affirmation. If you are affirming that you have something you don't, this builds up a very powerful thought form energy on the astral plane, which can eventually manifest in the physical.
What is the real magic?
Real magic is it exists every day, and people use it every day, even though they think they're not doing magic. It's not sorcery. It's not Mickey Mouse running around with a wizard hat, that sort of thing. Real magic is focusing your will, your imagination, and your intent, and calling upon the joining with a higher power to bring about change. And for us, it means change in the physical world. It could mean change in us. Prayer, for example, is a form of magic because we have a desire, we have a need when we pray for something. And we call upon a higher power. We call upon God, we call upon saints, on angels, to help bring that into being. That is a form of magic. Now, in magic per se, the magician projects more will. In prayer, we have the prayer of surrender, whereas this is what I'd like, but God's will be done. In magic, it's more self-directed, where but we are still calling upon a higher power. It's a partnership sort of thing. Whenever we dream big dreams and we put a lot of energy into it, that's a form of magic because it's thought building on the astral plane.
You are writing and you are teaching, you are experiencing the angelic sides of the invisible world. But at the same time, you have very interesting books about witches, vampires, and the dark side of the invisible. So how do you contact, how do you find the balance between the pure and the light and between the dark and the negative?
One of the reasons why I look into both sides of the coin is, part of it is my own intellectual curiosity, but also I feel that to really understand the spiritual depths and dimensions of the universe we live in and also within us, we have to look at both sides. You can't look at just one side or another. Over the years, I have counseled many people who wanted to do a lot of in-depth spiritual work, but they didn't want to have anything to do with anything negative. And sooner or later, they had an experience with something negative, and they didn't know how to handle it. So if we're educated that the dark side does exist, and what are its characteristics, and how do you deal with it, then we lose fear. It has no power over us because we have no fear of it. I think that's very important. So that's the balance that I look for.
Count Dracula is the most famous vampire. We know him from the history as Vlad Dracul, and also from the Hollywood movies. But what is the meaning of a real vampire? The real vampire exists.
Real vampires do exist, and it is there are different kinds of vampires. A supernatural vampire is an entity, a demonic sort of entity, that attacks the living for life force, and this can manifest in a number of ways. Health, a misfortune, disaster, loss of possessions, failure, those would be the ways that a vampiric entity would sustain itself by drawing off the life force. You could look at that in terms of like a New Age concept of the prana or chi energy in someone. In older times, it was literally the blood, because the blood was the life. Like the Bible says, the blood is the life. There are living vampires, people who have the ability to debilitate you just by their presence. We've all been around people who just left us feeling really wrung out. they may be unwitting psychic vampires, where there's something about the way they interact with people that draws off another person's energy, and they're sort of energized in the process. There are also people who have learned how to magically do that, to take other people's energies so that they prosper.
This is something very selfish, and I don't think that in a volunteer vampire would get benefits from the universe harming somebody else. So are they aware of the dangers of using other beings' energy?
I do believe that there are. Every religious and spiritual tradition around the world teaches against that sort of thing, that this really is against the natural order. The natural order is harmony, wholeness, light, love, balance, and not manipulating other entities or people and not using them up like a resource. I think that in spiritual practice, it's very important to understand those boundaries, especially when we pray for things, and also if we engage in any of the esoteric arts, like magical arts. If you ever attempt to manipulate other people, you are going against the natural order of self-determination. Ultimately, according to all traditions, if you do that sort of thing, there's a price that you pay in the long run, that something comes back on you at some point.
Sometimes a triple way.
That's prominent in a lot of traditions, to get a threefold return. And so if you send something negative out, like to harm somebody, it will come back on you, magnified three times.
And today in the art, in visual arts, in some video clips, in some music clips, and in some movies, we can often see there is a very dark, fearful energy. And it comes from the television screen into our living rooms, into our houses. What do you think about it?
I think it's a very negative, detrimental influence. And whatever we put our minds on, whatever we occupy our attention with, takes on energy in our life and manifests in our life. And so if you are constantly subjecting your attention to negative things, to violent things, your life is going to have those elements in it.
This is a self-spell or self-magic ritual. You are creating your reality, taking that images in your mind. Can we call it like in this way?
Absolutely, Farah. People do not understand how very powerful our thought is. Everything we think has the potential of manifesting. Now, when you think of all the thoughts that race through your head in a day, most of them are just going to dissipate into nothingness. But let's say that you have the same thought every day for a long time, like, oh, I'm always unlucky. Mm-hmm. And this could be even sort of a joke that you say again. It becomes your reality because your thought emphasizes that over and over again. It has to start with a thought. That's where the things that are in the physical manifest, because something started first in thought and it became empowered. Thought has to become empowered through will, through imagination, through energy. You energize it by action, because you act according to that thought, and also by calling on higher powers.
And the cartoons for the children lately, they are really violent, and monsters are the heroes or the idols of the little children. And are they going to stop, and are they going to give to the children a nice world or not?
It depends on how the monsters are portrayed. I've seen some shows where the monster is like more heroic, and that, depending upon how it's portrayed, it could be useful to help children to overcome fears. Mm-hmm. You know, that monsters are not necessarily all powerful against you. But we also run the risk of glamorizing certain things that really shouldn't be glamorized.
I just like Halloween, the concept of the Halloween is to stop having fears about the monsters.
Well, the tradition of Halloween is that you wore something terrible and spooky on that particular night, because that was the night when the souls of the dead were loose, and that's how you scared them away. So it was protection.
It's a protection.
Right.
What is your next book? What will be your next book?
I'm just getting finished with a brand new encyclopedia called The Encyclopedia of Magic and Alchemy. And I talk about the principles of magic, real magic. Alchemy is part of that, the alchemical tradition, which is a process of purification. Is at the foundation of magic. It's been a fascinating project. All of these books are fascinating because of what I think they reveal about the universe, the way it's organized, the forces that are active in us, how we respond to things. It's often most instructive to look at the dark side rather than the other side.
Yes.
Because that's where we find a lot of hidden things that need to come out.
I agree with you, and thank you very much for this interview. Do you have a message to Jerry Piffin Show listeners?
I've always encouraged people to be open-minded about the existence of the unseen realm. I encourage people to pay attention to their own intuition, because ultimately we have to follow and know our own truth. Nobody else can do that for us. We have to validate our own experiences. We have to know in our heart what happens to us that can't be explained naturally. But all of this is useful in finding our path of truth, who we are as human beings, who we are as souls, and our relationship to the whole of creation.
Thank you very much for this wonderful interview, and I wish you a wonderful day in this very interesting paranormal